We are continuing forward. Why would we go any other direction? Dill, you got me? I'm on. The bumps are bumping. The lines be moving, the bumps be bumping. So, the bleeps, the sweeps, and the creeps. Yeah, that's what it is. We're Spaceball friends. So, yeah. This has been a rough week. Not for the reasons anybody here would think, for me, but just a lot of stuff going on spiritually. And this message particularly comes with a little bit more of a sensitivity. We'll say that. So as Ken got to preview my notes this morning as he walked in and set everything up, the very first line in my notes says, viewer discretion is advised. What does that mean, usually, when you hear viewer discretion advised? You may see something you don't like, right? Or the material you're about to witness or watch could be challenging, difficult. Subject matter could be controversial at best. Sadly, I believe this is a warning that many believers have just learned to ignore. We've just become tolerant to the actual TVMA. TVMA means for mature audiences only, but we let our 11 and 12 year olds watch whatever comes on the television channel. Like, the government literally created a warning system to prevent you from having people of certain types watching things that they should or should not be watching because, I don't know, maybe it's not a good idea. But these things have just become background noise or static in the back, right? We become desensitized to the corruption of the world and made purity now something that we mock. It's just literally, no lie, it's just a laughing stock. Think of the last time somebody's talked about purity. Even in a church. Like, when's the last time you had a modesty conversation with the women in the church? Nope. Don't happen. Wear whatever you want. Act however you want. Did we lose sight of how God feels about this particular aspect of corruption? Did we, like, forget about these two towns, Sodom and Gomorrah? Like, God somehow, oh, he exacted his judgment on this. And, okay, that's it. We're done now. Go back to doing what you were doing. It's okay. Is it okay? No. Clearly it's not okay, right? And what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah didn't just poof happen. It didn't just magically appear. These two towns didn't just get erected and then all of a sudden, ooh, they're just filled with all sorts of corrupt indiscretions. It didn't happen that way. It starts as something small and eventually it overtakes us. Immorality has defiled the church and God's people in this exact way. And unfortunately, I have to bear bad news. Yes, that is what we are talking about today. The subject, the title of the message is Choosing Purity. And we have to discover the best choice and continually make the best choice in this area now more than ever. It is absolutely, absolutely a must. So, strap in. Are we ready to go? If you don't want to hear it, this is your last chance. Everybody's here? All right, ready to go. Let's go. So we're going to talk about the root of immorality, not immortality. That means you live forever. So this is definitely not what this is about. So make sure you put the right letters in the right spots if you're writing notes. 1 Corinthians And we have a few spots here we're going to be jumping around in chapter 5 and then 6. So just kind of keep yourself there for a bit. And you got it there, Dill. Thank you, sir. So 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up. And have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you." Go down to 6, starting at verse 6 and 7. "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." And then, finishing up at 9 through 13. "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or the extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who also are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." I want to be clear. These specifically are addressing not what is happening outside in the world, but the sexual immorality and the issues of these types of people that are where? Right here. So, guess what? You're here in the church, and you're hearing this because it's important. I'm not addressing the world. I'm addressing y'all. If you know what that means, go to the south. It means you all. All y'all. Yes. Okay. What can we understand from this so far in this very introductory set of passages? First of all, we understand that sexual immorality defiles. What does defile mean? Does anybody know what defile means? Make unclean. That was the first answer. Impure. That's a good answer. Any other guesses? Now's your chance. Come on, teacher. Got it? Nope. She's shrugging it off. She knows what it means. I know she does. Any guesses? Nope. None. All right. Here we go. Where's it coming from, though? I love that you guys are getting more well-trained. This is awesome. You could have figured it out if you knew that. Welcome to 1828 Webster's Dictionary's definition of defile. Means to corrupt chastity, to debauch, to violate, to tarnish the purity of character by lewdness. Also means to taint in a moral sense, to corrupt, to vitiate, to render impure with sin. There is a lot to the word defile. But what I want you to focus on is there's something specific about this particular thing. It's very specific when it comes to defilement. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. It says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not," I already know what it says, but I want to say it, "your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," or belong to God. Here's the catch. Sexual immorality does not just defile somebody else, it defiles you as well, right? Which is clearly laid out here in scripture. But here's the catch, right? If we understand the second part of this scripture, that our body is a holy temple, right? If we're defiling God's holy temple, what do you think we should be deserving of? God's judgment, right? When the all the shops were opened up in God's temple and Jesus saw that they were sharing and exchanging goods and money in God's temple, what did Jesus do? Did he go, oh, it's okay. That's fine. He got a whooping? I don't remember him getting a whooping. Oh, they definitely got a whooping. You remember what he did? He flipped some tables. That's the least of what he did. He grabbed a rope. Now, mind you, I don't know if you guys understand, but the rope was not a, like, you know, thin nylon rope like this. It was like this thick around. Okay? And he's wailing that thing around, beating these guys out of the temple. God is not happy with his temple being defiled in any way, shape, or form. Can we get a clear understanding that God's not going to be okay with this type of behavior in our lives? We should understand this. Now that's not the hard part, right? But here's the catch. Defilement is not like our previous bitterness, because bitterness was like a what? It was like a poison, right? Defilement is worse, and I will explain why. Defilement is actually transferred to another intentionally. That means I intend to impart this horrid behavior upon you. I'm actually putting it to you intentionally. What kind of evil, wicked person would want to actually intentionally put these kinds of things into God's holy temple? Any guesses? Good answer. The devil, who currently is owning the title deed to what? This world that we live in. So let me be clear in stating some very pointed facts. This world is not brewing anything that is going to be pleasant for us as believers. It has no good intention. It is very much intending to defile every single one of you, and has been doing so for a very long time. And it is coming in at an aggressive rate, probably but more so than ever before. It is entirely, entirely egregious. And yet, I believe wholeheartedly that we sit in this room currently with not just, oh, we're all good. No. Every probably person in this room has some form or another been victimized by it. And whether or not you believe it or not, you're warring against this defilement in your household. You're warring against this defilement in your personal life. Every single person here. Seems pretty harsh for me to say that, but I did start this by saying I had a rough week. It's not easy when God opens your eyes about certain things. Dylan, if you could you bring up that graph? Thank you. The world is absolutely determined to transfer sexual immorality into every person in this room, every believer, every non-believer, you name it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't care who you are. It wants to put it into you. It wants to put it on you in some form or fashion. Here's where this is going to get really weird. How much of the internet consists of porn? Now, why am I bringing this up? Because this is probably known as one of the most inflammatory vessels of which sexual immorality defiles people today. Plain and simple. I am not going to pull punches. I'm going to go straight for the jugular. I'm not holding back. But here's what's interesting. 4% of the internet is comprised of it. Doesn't seem like that's a whole lot. That means there's actually a whole lot of good, wholesome things that are actually on the internet that aren't sexually corrupt and polluted. That seems like a good thing. Until you see some other things. 4% of the internet corrupts 87% of the men between the ages of 18 and 35. So if you're a male between the age of 18 and 35, put your hands up. You're not between the age of 35. So unfortunately, it is going to absolutely affect individuals in that age almost guaranteed. I mean, 87% is pretty darn high. We agree? But that's only 4%. Mind you, this is only dealing with that small area of ages. It probably is if you include more numbers. Yes, it probably is definitely higher than that. Here's where it gets worse. The individuals that this affects are 6 times more likely to actually act on those behaviors. Worse than this is that 88% of the material depicts women in a violent manner. So you wonder why rape is higher. Why you wonder why there's all sorts of impure attitudes or impure thoughts towards women and why they're treated in such indiscretionate manners. That's because of an industry that actually doesn't like you and wants to ruin you as a human being. Also note, this kills 56% of marriages. The covenant that God holds as to not be broken in any means whatsoever, more than half are ruined because of 4% of an industry. Keep that in mind. Remember that part where a little leaven leavens the whole lump? That doesn't seem like a lot of leaven, but it sure has a lot of destruction in its wake, does it not? It's important that we deal with it. Here's what's more important. The reason that this is prevalent is more so in men is because it's actually meant to attack you as a man. Why? Because if men aren't in the church becomes weaker. So the more we can get you out of the church and the more we can remove you from your God-given right and position and the establishment of what you're supposed to stand for God, you are effectively making the church weaker. So why isn't the church doing its job, as some people can come up here and toot? Well, the reason why is because they're busy gratifying themselves. God actually designed man to bear burdens, and this corruption has actually removed the burden bearer from the fight. So that's the reason why. That's why it's a big deal. Now, clearly, men are not the only victims here, right? We see clearly that women are also involved in this. It's not just a one-way street. It doesn't just pick on men and leave women out of the equation. Sexual immorality has been pushed upon us generation after generation. And even worse, it continues to become more tolerated, accepted, and integrated into our societies. How can I say this? Well, given the fact that the schools now teach this garbage as though it's okay. Who let the schools dictate that that was an appropriate move? That you're what? What did we say? 12-year-old is learning about, you're 12 to 15. Your fifth grader, which is what, 11, 12, are learning things that I didn't even learn when I was a full-fledged adult about sex and things that they should not even be aware of, let alone know about, but they're being thrusted upon because, after all, if we can infect you earlier when you get to be old enough to have access, you will rather chase after those desires than to chase after God. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And here's the catch. In this world, it's all deemed acceptable. It's deemed okay. They make it seem like you're fine. You're normal if you think like this. You're okay. It's abnormal behavior. According to their standard. What happened to God's standard? Why? Because we've allowed it to happen. Its lowered standards are there because God has been removed from the throne of man's heart. Man has kicked God out of his heart. But if we belong to Christ, if we profess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, I am sorry, this day, right now, today, you cannot call these two things as acceptable in your life. You have to make a decision. Either it's for God, or it's for this garbage. Because one way or the other, it will show itself up. How can I say that? Because God requires us to be separate. To be set apart. We literally sung the words of the song. Today. If your requirement in order to be called a lover of God, one of His children, it's going to require you to be set apart. You have to be separate. You cannot mix the common things of this world with the uncommon things of God. They don't blend. Did you ever see that, like, that commercial for the blender? It's like, will it blend? And they put, like, all these weird things in a blender and they blend it. And it's like, this blender can literally blend anything. Guess what? It will not. It will not blend sexual immorality and the kingdom. They aren't going to mix, ever. So stop trying to make them fit. And to give you just some figurative thought, some things to think about, and maybe for our teens a little bit of research, what's actually happening is some revelation stuff. What's really happening is Babylon, the city, is actually being erected into every single individual's heart. Because what is happening that Revelation depicts about Babylon is actually happening inward in every human being in the world. And it's going to become more and more corrupt, more pervasive, more illicit, more affronted. It's going to try very hard to continue to destroy everything that is good that God stands for. So what do we have to do? Because I don't want this to just seem like, oh man, he's just coming with the whip and he's beating me down with all this sexual immorality stuff. I don't believe in that. I believe wholeheartedly that God's people don't need to just be instructed on, well, what's over the mountain and what's on the horizon? Or what's already at my house and in my doorstep? Right? Because if you're fighting it now and you're dealing with it now, does it help you knowing that it's coming? No, because it's already here. I'd be a very horrible pastor if that was the end of this sermon. It is not. We are here to make good choices. We are here to learn how to make the best choices. Amen. And as I started, it is important for us in this particular area to make the best choice. It has to be. We cannot sit back and allow this continual disruption in our houses, in our lives, in our personal time. We can't. We have to make a stand. And it's going to start with making the pure choice. So if you could go to Matthew 5:8, it's a real short one. Blessed are those who are pure in heart because, Dylan, they shall see God. Purity allows us to see God. Or another way of looking at it is an ability for us to be God-focused. So if we are in a position where we are struggling immensely with the things of this world and what God is doing, right? In our lives, and we have this conflict. And Holly, she brought up a video on worship rehearsal, and I'm going to give a little bit of that today because it was a really good example. Jeremy Riddle was explaining about this same subject matter. And he was talking about when you go and you buy a new car, and you see the car on the lot, and you look at the car, and you're like, man, this is a really cool car. And it's got this really nice color, paint job, whatever. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to buy this car because I don't know anybody else that has this car. And the second you drive it off the lot, what do you see? You literally see them everywhere you go. You go to the parking lot next door and you're like, there's like six more of these sitting right here. And I'm like, I'm parked right next to one. I was like me with my Element. We got the Element. I drove it off. I'm like, I've never seen anybody driving a toaster before. This is, who wants to drive in a toaster? Seriously, like nobody's gonna be driving in this thing. I like it cause it's got no carpet. Like that's the best thing about this car. I literally, you spill something in my car, I go, okay, wipe that down with a hot rag and that's the end of that. Goodbye. Cool. I'm not worried about smelly odors and mildewy smells and wet dog smells. I don't got none of that in my car. It's the best thing ever. I drove it off, I saw four. I'm like, I never saw anybody in a toaster before in my entire life. I didn't think anybody drove these things. They're everywhere. I see them everywhere. Think about this in the same line of what we're just saying. If we turn around, when we turn around and we see this, blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. In reality, when we have this pure in heart established, we start to actually see the things of God all around us. We actually start to see His hand moving and doing the things that He's always doing, but we haven't been able to see it because we've been blocked. Immorality, or that defilement that immorality brings, will prevent you from being able to see the things of God. End of conversation. There is no argument, there is no rebuttal one could make. It is a absolute fact. But what does purity actually mean? I don't even need to tell you where to go. But when you go there and you look it up yourself, you will see there's a common thread. And it really is only one word. And I bet you nobody here will be able to guess what it means. You can't guess, Dylan, because you have the notes. You're out. What do you think purity means, sir? It's a one word. It's one word. Want to rescue your brother? No, doesn't care. Cleanliness, good try. Innocence, good try. Get a guess? No? Sure, why not? You can throw it in. No? I'm pointing to Ryan, but you can go for a shot. Go for it. One word. Redeemed? No? You saw it. I don't think you remember, though. No, you don't remember. Sanctified is good, I guess. These are all very good answers. Got a guess? Purity. One word. No, purity is the word. You're trying to find out what does it mean. If you go in Webster's 1828, you can find out. It's one word, though. What is it? What's it mean? Sure. Stop. First word. Say it louder. Freedom. Freedom. Man, as Americans, man, we should love that more than anything else. We should be the purest nation on the planet because we put freedom on everything. Yet, here we stand, probably the most literally corrupt nation. How funny is that? Do you understand that this whole immorality issue plagues this country more than any other country? They do in another industry, but we have access to things a little bit more quickly and readily than Germany does. Here's the thing. When you boil it down, we, however, in this country, pride ourselves in being the land of the free. Yet we imprison more people into immorality than I think could ever be imagined. Just think about the founding of this country. It was based on God and the Bible. Yet as every single generation that continues to be perverted and corrupt comes in, they remove more of God and the Bible out, allowing more freedom to be taken away. If you think this isn't perverse, you're not looking clearly at what's going on. It isn't about a pornographic issue. It's not about the actual sexual immorality issues. It's bigger than that. It's just the vessel that's being used. Defilement is the bigger problem. Sexual immorality just is the quickest method to defile. Make sense? It's like, if I turned around and I said, well, here, there's like this pile of like soil over here, just this pile of soil. And I go, you need to get as dirty as you can. And you can either use this little pile of soil that's sitting on the table, or there's this gigantic pool of mud. Which one do you think you're going to go with? The pool of mud? Probably, right? Because that'll do the job real quick. That's what's happening. The vessel to contaminate and defile the church has been this giant pool of mud that's just been ignored and put off to the side. But we have a responsibility to make the best choice, right? Which means, yes, I see there's that giant pool of mud. However, I know it's tempting. I know. Just, it seems like it'd be a really fun time to just jump in there. But I'm going to make a better choice. Because I don't want to be covered in mud. That's the choice that we're being asked to make every day. Yet we cloud it up with excuses. Choosing purity is choosing to be free from the contamination and the corruption, right? So how do we make purity our choice? Here's where we're going to get the answers. Dylan, Psalm 119. How shall a young man cleanse his way? And this is out of the Amplified Version, by the way. By taking heed and keeping watch on himself according to your word, conforming his life to it. Pause. Choosing to keep watch on ourselves means that it's your responsibility. It is not somebody else's responsibility to care for the defilement that is in your life. If you have been defiled by the corruption of the world, it isn't somebody else's job to fix it. You have to be responsible. That means take ownership. If you have things coming into your house that you don't like, it's not because somebody else has brought them in. Think about it. Who's the gatekeeper of your home? You are. If you're the gatekeeper of your home, men, I'm talking to you, and you let this filth in your house, it's not because they brought it in, it's because you let them bring it in. There's methods. Talk to my friend over here. He can have your internet locked up like this, with passwords you'll never figure out. And it's not Kitty. It's not Kitty. But he can do it. A joke about that, but I'm not really joking at the same time, right? Continuing on. With my whole heart, I have sought you, inquiring for and of you, and yearning for you. Oh, let me not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully, from your commandments. Your word I have laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared and recounted all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and have respect to your ways, the paths of life marked out by your law. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We have a big responsibility. But here's the catch. It's your choice. It's your willing decision to choose these things for your life. It is for your betterment, but you have to make the choice. I can't choose it for you, but you have to choose to conform to God's precepts. Like, what precepts could we possibly be asking of you to be conforming to? Gee, these are hard. Let me recount some of them. Let's go with, thou shalt not touch unclean things. Where's that at? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. I said it that way so you'd think it was back in the Old Testament. Tricked you. It's not. We're not supposed to partake of unclean things. We're supposed to be separate. So if you're supposed to be separate and you're taking on unclean things, guess what you're not doing? You're not being separate. You're participating in the world systems. You're being just like the rest of the world. How about 1 Peter 1:16? Anybody know what it says there? Anybody want to take a guess? Be holy as he is holy. If you're required to be holy, is being defiled a form of being holy? No, that's an easy answer. Wasn't a hard question to answer. So, be holy. Make choices that actually are wholesome and holy. And most importantly, Matthew 5 verse 28. Do not look to fulfill lusts. If you allow the lust of your heart to overwhelm the decisions that you make, I think you need some time of reflecting. Who's in charge of your life? Remember what I'm saying. God is not going to invoke your free will. So here's the part you play. God ultimately is in control, but he wants you to make the choices of him first. If you choose to go after the lust of your heart, you're choosing something else or someone else over him. And that can lead to all sorts of other problems. But there's some keys. Can you go back up and pull up in the Psalm 119, Dill? Go to, yes, right here. Nope, back. Let me not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully. Think about this. If you're seeking after him, remember we go back to the beginning, right? What I said before. You know, if we turn around and we have a God focus, right? Those who are pure in heart will see God. If we are seeking God and we have a God focus, right? Are you going to be able to wander from him? It's going to be kind of hard, right? If literally you're standing right in front of God and your eyes are peeled onto him, wandering from him would be very difficult. Wandering requires you to do what? Turn away. Think of it in another sense. Put yourself in a committed relationship. If you're a husband or a wife, you're married, you understand. You don't walk away from that other person. Even if you're angry and upset, yeah, maybe you need some time to cool down, but you're not leaving that person for somebody else. You're committed. You're in a relationship. Is it hard work sometimes? Absolutely it is. But being committed to the relationship means you're going to endure the hard work that's required. Amen? So guess what? Suck it up. Sometimes you have to go and get your butt spanked. God's going to be gentle, I promise you. But he's far better to, I'd rather get spanked by God than get beat up by the world any day of the week. What do we choose? Are we going to choose to be faithful as a bride to the bridegroom? We have a responsibility, church. We have to step up and make these choices. But here's the catch. This is the best part. When we read this psalm, God is encouraging us in a way that is better than any other. We spend time with him how? With his word, right? I can't tell you how many times I am spending quiet time alone thinking I'm going to focus and meditate on the things of God. If I'm not in his word, that quiet time that I'm spending alone thinking I'm spending it with God gets infiltrated like that. If we're not doing our due diligence, I'm serious. If you do exactly what this is telling you to do, God is not a liar. If we follow his word here, it is 100% effective. If I'm actually in his word, and I'm spending that time in his word, meditating on his word, what his promises are, the good things he says for my life, the things that he wants me to understand, his precepts, his commandments. If I'm spending that time, I actually find myself becoming more freed, more cleansed, more set apart than anything I try to do in my own strength. Just because you're alone and you think you're going to do a good thing and spend time with God, guess what? It's just an open opportunity for the enemy to come and throw you a curveball. Especially since a good portion of us use our phones to go online and do Bible searches and read the Bible. Hey, Dylan, can you pull that graph back up? 20% of the industry is viewed through a mobile device. So in that quiet time where you're just sitting by yourself and you're on your phone and you're going to go spend some time with the Lord, there's a 1 in 5 chance that you're going to go somewhere you're not supposed to. Just think about it. What does it mean to choose purity? It's no different than your wedding vows. When you make your wedding vows, you made a decision that you will forsake all others. If you are going to be married to Jesus Christ in your life, then forsake all others. Stop being a whore. Ooh, that sting a little? I'm sorry. But if you were on the other side of that coin, how would you feel? How would you feel knowing that the person you care the most about, that is cherished and important in your life, is cheating on you constantly with some stranger through a phone? Would you want to be around that person anymore? Be hard to love them, wouldn't it? Not calling you out personally. Just happen to look in that general direction. We have to choose to be lovers of His Word over whatever harlots the world's trying to substitute the Word with. And let me be clear, I call them harlots because that's what they are. Because they're robbing God's people of His Word, the good things that He has for them, for frauds. For something that's just going to fade away and pass away. It'll disappear as quick as it came. It will never fulfill you. But here's the catch. The more we get on this path of choosing these types of things, making the pure, good, wholesome choices for our life, we adapt a lifestyle. And in that lifestyle, the choices become easier. Because it doesn't become an affront, or it doesn't even get close to your doorstep anymore. Because you've set up a whole line of things in your life to basically keep this going. Because the last thing you want to do is move where? Outside of that goodness that God has for your life. Here's your challenge, church. We understand how it can affect us, right? It's going to get you where? We already talked about it. It's going to get you. It's going to try to. I can't even count how many apps could be downloaded on a phone. Not you, Irene Safe. She doesn't even know how to turn the thing on. All right? But seriously, for the majority of the people in this room, this device is going to be the vessel that's going to try to corrupt through. It's going to use games. It's going to use apps. It's going to use advertisements. But if you're not one of these guys, okay, fine. It's going to use your TV. It's going to use your internet. Okay? And if you're not even one of those guys, good on you. Have you tried driving without your eyes being open? Hey, brother truck driver over there who drives on 295 every day. How about how many times do you think you pass a billboard with some kind of illicit material on it? Or a scantily clad person on it? Probably more times than you could count in a day. Probably more of them than there are exits. Well, I consider that a form of immorality. I'm joking. But it's going to try to get into your system somehow. And here's the trick, guys. I want to be clear and I want to speak very clearly. Once it has penetrated your eyes, it has already done its job. It has already done its job. It doesn't take much. Because in our nature, our fallen nature, we look to take care of who first? Me, myself, and I. And so it's designed to make you want to take care of yourself first. It puts forward that ingratiation of yourself. It wants you to do so. So it's going to always put that out in the forefront and make it seem like, again, it's okay. So it only needs that small opening of your eye to gain ground. Not advocating driving with your eyes closed. But I want us to be alert to what it's doing. So remember, this is the case. First, ID. Where is it coming from? How is it coming in? If you know where it's coming from, you know how it's coming in, you can start to build what? Defenses. Right. You get to start to actually know its method, its prime way of attack. You can start to fortify your life in that manner. So if you want to start fortifying your life in this matter, it's going to start by making the choices before the attacks come, not after. Don't make the choices after, make them before. And since we understand that it counts for so much use in the cell phone, right? Am I telling you to go throw your cell phone into the wall and get rid of it? No. Go back to what I said out of Psalms. You are in charge of this. You are the one in control of the device. The device does not control you. You have the right to make the choices on what you do, how you use it, and way you're going to do it. It requires something called, begins with a D. Thank you very much. It's called discipline. We need to become more disciplined about this more than anything else. How do we get discipline in our life? I'm literally standing here, right? Through teachers, through those who can speak into your life that you welcome, right? Through accountability. Who's holding you accountable? If we recognize the method that the world is using, okay, and we learn how to avoid them, the next thing we have to do is stop thinking that we're above it and understand that God told us to separate ourselves and to flee. I want to be clear. God said to flee sexual immorality. He didn't say weather the storm. Come on, tough guy. You can handle it. You're a big boy. Muscle up. You're better than that. You can do it. What did he say? What does flee mean? The little bug that makes you itch. Usually you get it from your dog. Not that flea. What's it mean? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. A basis. He is indeed a basis. Means to run. I want to be clear on pointing this out because I believe that this is, again, how the enemy works, right? Because everything God says is the right way, the enemy turns around and throws us the other way, right? So he's built up this machoism in man to make him think that running away is what? Is weak and cowardly. I'm going to tell you, it's the most godly thing you can do when it comes to sexual immorality. God would be so proud to know that his people are running away from this vessel. You are not a coward. You are not weak. You are not anything but the best in God's eyes if you make that best choice. So let's be clear. What's the best choice when it comes to sexual immorality? Run away. Run away. If you happen to just buy, and I'm telling you, you want to talk about how it comes? I'll tell you, it comes real quick. You're on your phone, you're looking up something, it turns into another search, you're into something else, boom, you're looking at something you're not supposed to. What should you do? I'm going to give you the best rule of thumb. Firefighters taught us what to do, right? What do? Stop, drop, and roll. Guess what? Stop what you're doing, drop your phone, whoosh, run. Is it weird that you literally just are in the middle of the aisle of, like, the bookstore, and you're on your phone, and all of a sudden you literally stop what you're doing, drop your phone, and run out of the store? People might look at you weird. But God's not. You can go back and get your phone once you're disciplined. But it's important that you don't allow the perverse things of this world to corrupt you any longer. That is important. Because here's the catch, church. If we're going to take this world back, if we're going to strip that title deed out of the enemy's hands, if we're going to win back our school systems, if we're going to win back our governmental bodies, if we're going to actually win the fights that God's telling us we can win, if only we would handle this issue in our lives, imagine where the church would be today if the men would start coming back and taking their place in the church and stop following after their own perversions. Just think about it. It's that important. So again, this is here. It is not a place where it is uncommon to have literally all the garbage dumped on the floor and we just call the Holy Spirit cleaning crew to come in and mop it up afterwards. If you need prayer, please don't leave here carrying your filth and garbage. Please do not. There's room here for everybody. Nobody will be looked at funny, I promise. Well, you might get looked at funny by me, but that's it, just me. Nobody else will be judging you, because they're not allowed to. I'm looking right at you. I remember, you can't see me.